Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Deeper Truth presents... Yes, welcome to another edition of Stand in the Gap, where we celebrate our saint of the day, remember our priests, pray for our children, remember those who have gone before, and many other special features. Following this brief program note, our saint of the day is next.
And welcome to Deeper Truth. Stand in the gap with us and Saint Angela of Foligno, the mistress of the evangelists, she's known as. And her story begins now with some of her words. She said, in a vision I beheld the fullness of God, in which I beheld and comprehended the whole of creation, that is, what is on this side and what is beyond the sea, the abyss, the sea itself, and everything else, and everything that I saw. I could perceive nothing except the presence of the power of God, and in a manner totally indescribable, and my soul, in an excess of wonder, cried out, this world is pregnant with God. Wherefore, I understood how small is the whole of creation, that is, what is on this side, and what is beyond the sea, the abyss, the sea itself, and everything else. But the power of God fills it all to overflowing. A vision from Saint Angela of Foligno. If we but pause for a moment to consider attentively what takes place in the Eucharist, I am sure that the thought of Christ's love for us would transform the coldness of our hearts into a fire of love and gratitude that's coming from Saint Angela of Foligno. She had such love for the Eucharistic Lord. And she prayed, Holy God, I go to you in order that to be received. Go pure in order to be purified. Go alive in order to be enlivened. Go just in order to be justified. Go united and conjoined to Christ in order to be incorporated through him with him and in him. God created and God made man, who is given in this most high mystery through the hands of the priest. Thanks be to God always. Amen. And so Saint Angela is referring about the Eucharist. Without humility of heart, all the other virtues by which one runs toward God seems and are absolutely worthless. So this sacrament, the Eucharist, really contains you, O Lord my God, you whom the angels adore, in whom in whose presence the spirits and mighty powers tremble. Oh, if we could only see you clearly as they do, with what reverence would we approach you in the Eucharist, Lord? With what humility would we receive you? As Saint Angela said, Holy Scripture is so exalted, that there is no one in the world wise enough to understand it so fully that his intellect is not overcome by it. Nevertheless, man can stammer something about it. And that's why the Lord gave us the Holy Catholic Church to be our guide through it. And St. Angela would say, this whole world is full of God. She saw God in everything and everyone. What Mother Teresa, St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta, would try to show in her love for the poor. So she's right there with St. Angela, St. Mother Angelica. St. Mother Angelica, Mother Teresa of Calcutta. So our condition is most noble, being so beloved of the Most High God that he was willing to die for our sake, which he would not have done if man had not been a most noble creature and of great worth. We are most highly loved. This is the message coming from Saint Angela of Foligno. So our condition, we ought to recognize we are sinners and we need him. We need him. And that's why we encourage people to go to Mass, to frequent the sacraments, to go to confession, and to pray the rosary. So that's what we are encouraging people to do, to follow the lives of these holy saints. And St. Angela of Foligno, the mistress of theologians, is sometimes called the mistress of theologians. Her tomb is in the church of St. Francis in Foligno. Many miracles have been recorded there. Born in Foligno on January 4th, 1248, to a well-to-do family, she soon lost her father and received little supervision from her mother. Thus did she spend her youth far from faith. She was beautiful and intelligent, passionate. She married a notable local man by whom she had several children. And Christ be our light. St. Angela of Foligno was, again, born in 1248 to a prominent family in Foligno, 3 leagues from Assisi, so not too far from St. Francis. Some saints show marks of holiness very early. Not Angela. Born of a leading family in Foligno, Italy, she became immersed in the quest for wealth and social position. As a wife and mother, she continued this life of distraction. And so she was born on 21 March 1474 in a small town on the shore of Lake Garda in Lombardy. When Angela was only 10 years old, she and her older sister became orphans. They went to live with their uncle in Salò, where they led a quiet and devout Catholic Christian life. In her late 30s, she experienced a moral crisis. She had committed a sin so serious that she feared hell. She prayed through the intercession of St. Francis of Assisi, who had died some 60 years earlier, and he appeared to her in a dream, promising he would render her aid. Soon after, Angela met a relative who was a Franciscan friar and priest, and she made a full confession, did penance for her sins, and began to embrace Franciscan spirituality. Around the age of 40, she recognized the emptiness of her life and sought God's help in the sacrament of penance. Her Franciscan confessor helped St. Angela to seek God's pardon for her previous life and to dedicate herself to prayer and the works of charity. So Blessed Angela of Foligno was born in 1248, and with her conversion, she lived only for the world and its vain pleasures, but the grace of God intended to make of her a vessel of election for the comfort and salvation of many. A ray of the divine mercy touched her soul and so strongly affected her as to bring about a conversion. Shortly after her conversion, her husband and children died. Selling most of her possessions, she entered the secular Franciscan order. She was alternately absorbed by meditating on the crucifixion, the crucified Christ, and by serving the poor of Foligno as a nurse and beggar for their needs. Other women joined her in a religious community, and she also entered the Third Order of St. Francis and presently found herself the superior and guide of others who followed in her path. Many women joined her, even to the point of taking the three vows. She encouraged them in works of charity, in nursing the sick, and in going personally from door to door to beg for the needs of the poor. Meanwhile, Angela became still more immersed in the contemplation of the Passion of Christ, and she chose the sorrowful mother and the faithful disciple John as her patrons. The sight of the wounds which our Lord suffered for her sins urged her to the practice of still greater austerities. Once our Lord showed her that his heart is a safe refuge in all the storms of life, she was soon to be in need of such a refuge. God permitted her to be afflicted with severe temptations, the most horrible and loathsome misrepresentations distressed her soul. At her confessor's advice, Angela wrote her book, The Visions and Instructions. In it, she recalls some of the temptations she suffered after her conversion. She also expresses her thanks to God for the incarnation of Jesus. Angela's birth date, which is not known with certainty, is often listed as 1248. She was born into a wealthy family at Foligno, and she married perhaps at an early age. She had several children. Angela reports that she loved the world and its pleasures. Around the age of 40, she reportedly had a vision of Francis of Assisi and recognized the emptiness of her life, and from that time, she began to lead a life devoted to higher perfection. And after making a pilgrimage to Rome, Angela gave away most of what she owed to the poor. Later, she went on a pilgrimage to Assisi, where she experienced the first of many visions. Her spiritual life deepened, and she became a woman of profound prayer. Eventually, her spiritual director began recording her mystical visions. It is reported that she also received the stigmata of Christ. Enlightened by grace, Blessed Angela of Foligno wrote in this account. She said, "I realized my sinfulness. I was seized with a great fear of being damned, and I shed a flood of tears. I went to confession to be relieved of my sins, but through shame I concealed the most grievous ones. But still I went to communion. Now my conscience tortured me day and night. I called upon Saint Francis for help, and moved by an inner impulse, I went into a church where a Franciscan father was then preaching. It is reported that in the year 1285, she had a vision of both the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Francis of Assisi, who called her to penance. And she said, I gathered courage to confess all my sins to him, and I did this immediately after such a sermon. With zeal and perseverance, I performed the penance he imposed, but my heart continued to be full of bitterness and shame. I recognized that the divine mercy has saved me from hell. Since I resolved to do right, rigorous penance, nothing seemed too difficult for me. Because I felt I belonged in hell, I called upon the saints and experienced upon the Blessed Virgin to intercede with God for me. It appeared to me now as if they had a compassion on me, and I felt the fire of divine love enkindled within me so that I could pray as I never prayed before. I had also received a special grace to contemplate the cross in which Christ had suffered so much for my sins, sorrow, love, and the desire to sacrifice everything for him filled my soul. About this time, God hearkened to the earnest desire of the penitent. Her mother died, then her husband, and soon afterwards, all her children. These tragic events were very painful to her, but she made the sacrifice with resignation to the will of God. Being freed from these ties, she dispossessed herself of all her temporal goods with the consent of her confessor, a Franciscan friar named Arnoldo, who being poor herself, she might walk in the footsteps of her poor Savior. It was to Arnoldo that she dictated her accounts of her conversion, now known as the Memorial of the Book of Visions and Instructions. In it, she recalls some of the temptations she suffered after her conversion. She also expresses her thanks to God for the incarnation of Jesus. This book and her life earned for Angela the title Teacher of Theologians. She was beatified in 1693 and canonized in 2013. She called out to God, "Glory be to thee, O Lord. Thy cross is my resting place." And these painful trials lasted over 2 years. But then the purified and tried servant of the Lord was filled with great consolation, and she obtained a marvelous insight into divine things and was very frequently found in ecstasy. For a time, she had the stigmata and for many years Holy Communion was her only food, until at last, completely purified, she entered into the eternal joy of the Supreme Good on January 4, 1310. And Blessed Angela of Foligno said, to know oneself and to know God, that is the perfection of man. Without this knowledge, visions and the greatest gifts are of no account. And Pope Innocent XII approved the continual devotion paid to her at her tomb in Foligno, where many miracles were attributed to her, and her beatification. He beatified her in 1693. At Christmas in 1308, Angela told her companions she would die shortly. And a few days later, she had a vision of Christ appearing to her and promising to come personally to take her to heaven. And she died in her sleep 3 January 1309. Angela died surrounded by her community of disciples. Her remains repose in the Church of St. Francis at Foligno, and many people attributed miracles to her, which were accomplished at her tomb. And so Angela died on January 3rd, 1309, and she was beatified by Pope Clement the 11th on July the 11th, 1701. On October 9th, 2013, Pope Francis declared her a saint. Her feast day is celebrated on January 4th and January 7th in the United States. And her incorrupt body is preserved in a glass reliquary at the Church of St. Francis in Foligno. And numerous miracles have been reported at her tomb. And she is known as the Mistress of Theologians for her writings and visions. And she says this, so we'll finish with some of her words. If you want faith, pray. If you want hope, pray. And if you want charity, pray. And if you want poverty, pray. If you want obedience, pray. If you want chastity, pray. If you want humility, pray. If you want meekness, pray. If you want fortitude, pray. And if you want any virtue, pray. And pray in this fashion, always reading the Book of Life, that is the life of the God-man Jesus Christ, whose life consisted in poverty, pain, contempt, and true obedience. God is the one who leads me and elevates me to the state. I do not go to it on my own, for by myself I would not know how to want, desire, or seek it. I am now continually in this state. Furthermore, God very often elevates me to this state with no need, even for my consent, for when I hope or expect it least, when I am not thinking about anything, suddenly my soul is elevated by God, and I hold dominion over and comprehend the whole world. It seems then as if I am no longer on earth, but in heaven in God. And she says, no one can be saved without divine light. Divine light causes us to begin and to make progress, and it leads us to the summit of perfection. Therefore, if you want to begin and to receive this divine light, pray. If you have begun to make progress and want to light and want this light to be intensified within you, pray. And if you have reached the summit of perfection and want to be superilluminated so as to remain in that state, pray. This embrace of God sets ablaze a fire within the soul, with which the whole soul burns for Christ. It also produces a light so great that the soul understands the fullness of God's goodness, which it itself experiences in itself, and which is, moreover, much greater than the soul's experience of it. The effect, then, of this fire within the soul is to render it certain and secure that Christ is within it. And yet, what we have said is nothing in comparison to what this experience really is. And my heart, she says, was drawn out for all worldly concerns and placed in God in such a manner that I could neither drink nor see anything except God, whether I spoke or ate or whatever I did. I did not prevent my heart from always being in God. And these are the words and the testimony coming from Saint Angela of Foligno, who received the Eucharist miraculously and who loved our Catholic priests. And so today, Saint Angela is beckoning us to pray for our priests. And so we pray for our priests.
It is time to pray for our priests, the real men in black.
Well, you wonder why I always dress in black, why you never see bright colors on my back, and why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on.
Without them, there are no sacraments. He counsels you. Who counsels him? He is on the front lines in the war against sin.
I wear it for another 100,000 who have died, believing that we all were on their side.
Now let us join together as we pray for our priests.
I'm the man in black.
Joyous prayer. Joyous strength. Joy is love. Joy is a net by which we catch souls. Mary, Mother of Jesus, throw your mantle of purity over our priests. Protect them, guide them, and keep them in your heart. Be a mother to them, especially in times of discouragement and loneliness. Love them and keep them belonging completely to Jesus. Like Jesus, they too are your sons. So keep their hearts pure and virginal. Keep their minds filled with Jesus. And put Jesus always on their lips, so that he is the one they offer to sinner and to all they meet. Mary, bless them and keep a special place for them in your heart. And give them a peace of your heart, so beautiful and pure and immaculate, so full of love and humble, that it, so that they too can grow in the likeness of Christ. Dear Mary, make them humble like you and holy like Jesus. Heavenly Father, grant that our priests be strengthened and healed by the power of the Eucharist they celebrate. May the word they proclaim give them courage and wisdom. We pray, Lord, for our bishops. Lord, may your Holy Spirit grace our bishops with the gifts of wisdom and strength, gentleness and compassion, as our bishops continue to take up their role as our pastor and teachers. And Lord, we pray for our deacons. Lord Jesus Christ, servant of all, send your spirit upon our deacons as they serve your church. And give our deacons these eyes to see the needs of your people. And give our deacons a discerning mind to know your truth. And give our deacons a generous spirit when they feel tired but needed. And give our deacons a humble heart when their work goes unnoticed. Give our deacons peace of mind and give them a health of body so they may serve with strength, Lord. And make our deacons fertile ground for your inspiration and love. And comfort our deacons, Lord, when they question themselves and their ministry. Lord, grant our deacons grace as they age so they may share your wisdom, Lord. And Lord, make their hearts like yours so they may love your people. Amen. And Lord, now we pray for our seminarians around the world. Lord, give our seminarians the grace to follow you more perfectly. When they are lonely or discouraged, fill them with your peace, Lord. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make the hearts of our seminarians like yours. Amen. Lord, give them strength when they are weak, love when they are feel forsaken, courage when they are afraid, wisdom when they feel foolish, comfort when they feel alone, hope when they feel rejected, and peace when they are in turmoil, Lord. Lord, raise up worthy ministers for your altars and ardent but gentle servants of the gospel. Grant this, Lord, to our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. And Lord, we pray for our altar servers. Jesus, thank you for the opportunity that our altar servers have in serving you during the Holy Mass. In your sacred presence, Lord, help their heart be filled with joy and peace. And may your spirit always guide them, Lord, so they can grow in your love by the grace of the Heavenly Father. Amen. And Lord, open the mouths of our children, O Lord, to bless your holy name. Cleanse their heart, Lord, from all evil and distracting thoughts. And enlighten their understanding, Lord, and inflame their will, that they may serve worthily at your holy altar, Lord. And the motto for our altar servers, all for the honor and glory of God. So we pray for our altar servers. Some of them, through this experience, Lord, may be open to hear your call for them, and may they respond to your call, Lord. Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. And so, and Lord, we pray for our children, Lord, our altar servers, and we pray for our children. We pray for our children, Lord.
It is time to pray for those who will carry the faith beyond our years. Our
children. Children.
You'll have that responsibility children, soon enough, kids. But for now,
run and jump and play. Young, carefree children.
And help them keep their childlike faith.
And the thing that's really sad is that we lose the faith we had when we were children. Loud, proud children.
Lord, Lord, your word is filled with accounts of miraculous protection, and we claim that power for vulnerable children. Make your little ones invisible to people who seek to exploit them. Saint Joseph, watch over us and care for us just as you cared for the child Jesus. And by your help, may we come to know your Son and so grow in strength and wisdom and the favor of God. Amen. And Saint Joseph is the patron saint of the Universal Church, families, fathers, expectant mothers. O glorious Saint Joseph, to you God committed the care of his only begotten Son amid the many dangers of this world. And we come to you and ask you to take under your special protection the children God has given us. Through holy baptism, they became children of God and members of his holy church. O Saint Joseph, do assist us by your powerful intercession and obtain for us from your divine Son all spiritual blessings through Jesus Christ our Lord, along with Saint Angela and Saint Nicholas and Saint Sebastian and Saint Maria Goretti and Saint Daphna and Saint Philomena and Saint Gianna and Saint Christopher, Saint Michael the Archangel, Saint Raphael the Archangel, and Saint Gabriel the Archangel, Saint Monica and Saint Anthony, all you holy men and women and angels in the kingdom of heaven, pray for us. Lord, you are our children's refuge and fortress, the God in whom they can and should put their trust. And I pray for all of our children and all of our grandchildren that no evil shall be allowed to befall on our children. No plague will come near their tent. Lord, you are the God of my strength. You are my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from the violence of my enemies, so I will call upon you, Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I love you very much. I beg of you to spare the life of the unborn child whom I have spiritually adopted, whose life is in danger of abortion. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in the day of battle. Be our safeguard against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking to ruin his souls. Amen. Pray, Lord, for those who have recently passed. And we pray the Holy Rosary for those who have recently passed. Pray the glorious mysteries focusing on the resurrection and life after death. God our Father, your power brings us to birth. Your providence guides our lives. And by your command, we return to dust. Lord, those who die still live in your presence. Their lives change but do not end. And I pray and hope for my family, relatives, and friends, and for all those who have recently passed, known to you alone, in company with Christ who died and now lives, may they rejoice in your kingdom, where all our tears are wiped away, and unite us together, Lord, again in one family, to sing your praise forever and ever. Amen. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them, and may they rest in peace. Amen. And may Almighty God bless us with his peace and strength. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And may the light of Jesus and the angels bring peace and salvation to my parents. May they rest in peace, knowing that their souls belong to God and God only. No demon, no devil, no principality, no evil spirit has access to their light and salvation. And may Holy Mary, the angels, and all the saints welcome them now that they have gone forth from this life. May Christ, who was crucified for them, bring them freedom and peace. May Christ, who died for them, admit them into his garden of paradise. May Christ, the true shepherd, embrace them as one of his flock. And may he forgive all their sins and set them among those who he has chosen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I love you very much, and I beg of you to spare the life of the unborn child whom I have spiritually adopted, whose life is in danger of abortion. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Mother Mary. I love you, Saint Joseph. And Lord, we lift up the prodigals. You said that you would leave the 99 to reach out after those who have gone astray. So Lord, we lift up the prodigals and thank you for loving them more than we do. And for watching over them when we can't. We pray for America, Lord. We pray for America. Pray for those who are in prison, Lord. We pray for our soldiers and veterans. We pray, Lord, that you would be their power and protector, leading them from darkness to light. We pray for those in prison and their families. May they be aware of your presence with them, and may your spirit bring them peace and the hope of new life in Jesus Christ. And we pray for those in hospitals, Lord. We pray for those, Lord, our doctors and nurses, our police officers, and our first line responders, our EMTs. We pray for all those who are in the hospitals, that the hospital would be a place of healing and hope for all there. We pray for the poor souls in purgatory. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with all the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, in my family. And we pray for mercy, Lord. The mercy seat, that people will go to confession. Pray and thank you, Lord, for the sacraments. We thank you, Lord, for the mercy seat. When you go to confession, the Lord takes the sins you confess and he throws them into the seat of the seat of forgetfulness, and he remembers them no more. So go to confession. If you have mortal sin, don't walk. Run. Go to the mercy seat where you would receive a judgment of mercy, which Jesus will honor one day when you stand before him to face his eternal justice. This mercy seat he will honor that he bestows on you on the mercy seat in the confessional. So go to the mercy seat.
Place I could go.
and we should make it right. Fall in love with Jesus. Go to Mass and frequent the sacraments and pray the rosary.
Oh,
Amen, and make it right. For what you do for our Lord, it's never for nothing. Amen. You've been listening and praying with Stand in the Gap, Deeper Truth, Stand in the Gap with us and Saint Angela of Foligno, the mistress. And tomorrow we will have Saint Adrian of Canterbury who will be entering into the gap tomorrow as we will close for tonight. And I hope they're all keeping warm and dry as this great snow is coming and sweeping through Kansas and heading towards through Missouri. So it's been crazy day today, but it's been a great blessing. And God bless you all today as we will close for today in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and amen. And tomorrow, in the gap, we will have St. Adrian of Canterbury. So we look forward to that tomorrow, and we will see you tomorrow. Good night and good day. Amen.